Greetings. Greetings, my dear and wonderful and beautiful sisters and brothers of the human family. My dear and wonderful and beautiful sisters and brothers of the Uhuru family. This is Deacon Christopher Frazier. I am your minister of information. This is thinkaboutit.org, the Mind of God program. Today's recording date is Sunday, July the 24th, 2011. And this is the Mind of God program. And on the Mind of God program, we endeavor to climb up out of the mind of the wicked ruling class and wicked ruling families of this wicked world order. We want to cease thinking like the house of Rothschilds, the Oppenheimers, the oppressor, the synagogue of Satan. We want to cease to think in a way that we would destroy the human family and commit warfare and bloodshed. We want to leave that mind. We want to climb up out of such wicked mind and climb up into the mind of God, the mind of Christ. We want to climb up into the mind of Yahweh, the mind of Namaste, the mind of Ram Ram, the mind of Jehovah, the mind of Allah, no matter what word you use for the Most High. That's how we want to think. And as we do so, we will see that we will be able to break down racial barriers, break down religious barriers, break down ethnic barriers and barriers of gender and age and so on. Break down organizational barriers, and we will see that we will organize for freedom, justice, and equality, the kingdom of God in heaven, right here, right now, on this earth. Freedom, justice, and equality. And we are ready, willing, and able, and we are aching to ally ourselves with any organization, political, religious, or revolutionary that is of like mind. My beautiful sister Venice, she is my helper, my engineer, my coordinator, my faithful, beautiful sister. I praise the Most High for her. Her name is Sister Venice. And I pray blessings on her children and her family. You may contact me by emailing yahlove@comcast.net. YAHLOVE at comcast.net. And as we always do, let us pause as Africans and any and all have the potential to be African, because the word Africa is made up of three words: Afu, Ra, Ka. Afu, Ra, Ka. And in general, it means houses for the spirit and soul of the Almighty. And each and every one of us, although the black man and woman are the first Africans, spiritually all have that potential to be houses for the spirit and soul of the Almighty. So we give praises unto the Most High Father and the Most High Creator. In the African Hebrew language, Father is known as Ab. And so if you put that together with Yahweh, you say Yahweh Ab or Yahweh Abba. In the African Arabic language, Father is known as Allah. In Egypt, Father is known as Amen, the hidden and unseen Father. In the Native American tradition, or the tradition of the indigenous peoples of the Western Hemisphere, the Almighty Father is known as the Great and the Grand Father. And we also give praises to our wonderful and beautiful and precious and most important Mother, the Holy Spirit, the Almighty Creatress. Now, the word mother in the African Hebrew language is Aim. So if you put that together with Yahweh, you say Yahweh Aim for the Almighty Mother. She is referred to, Mother Holy Spirit, Yahweh Aim, is referred to in the book of Proverbs in the feminine and given the feminine title of wisdom. That word wisdom in the African Hebrew language is chokma. It is a feminine word referring to, denoting a feminine entity. In this case, our mother, the Holy Spirit. In the Living Bible translation of St. Matthew chapter 1 and verses 19 and 20, we learn that she, our beautiful mother, the Holy Spirit, conceived Jesus. We say this every time because it is only the feminine, the female, the mother, the woman that conceives. Holy Spirit is our mother. Mother Holy Spirit is not only the mother of Jesus, but she is your, my, our mother as well. Mother of creation, mother of universe, mother of the human family. As father is father of the same. In the African Hebrew language, the name and title of our mother, the Holy Spirit, are Ruach HaKadosh. And the word Ruach is the African Hebrew word for spirit, found under the number 7307 on the Hebrew side of your Strong's Hebrew Greek Dictionary. That word Ruach is feminine, referring to a feminine entity, in this case our mother, the Holy Spirit. In the African Arabic language, her name is Illa. You have Allah and you have Illa. Illa, I-L-L-A-H, is an African Hebrew word. It's feminine there. And that same word is an African Arabic word. And that word is feminine there, referring to Mother Holy Spirit. And our Islamic sisters and brothers say, Ashadu illa illaha il Allah. And you hear in that phrase, illa and Allah. Traditionally, that is translated, there is no God but God. But because we understand that illa is the Mother Holy Spirit, this should properly be translated, there is none but Mother and Father, the Almighty Mother and the Almighty Father, Mother of creation, Illah, and Father of creation, Allah, together, Lord of all the worlds. In Egypt, Mother Holy Spirit is known as Amenet, the hidden and unseen Mother. In the tradition of the indigenous peoples of the Western Hemisphere, Mother Holy Spirit is known as the Great and the Grand Mother. So I greet you, my sisters and brothers, with pleasure, with honor of the human family, in the name and title of our Lord and Savior, the Black African Revolutionary Hebrew Messiah, Jesus the Christ. In the African Hebrew language, his name and title are Yahshua HaMashiach. And believe it or not, but it's best that we believe that which is truth. Christ has this day been revealed and manifested in the personality of his imperial majesty, Emperor Haile I Selassie I Rastafari of Ethiopia, the 225th king in the 3,000-year-old Solomonic dynasty, Emperor Haile I Selassie I Rastafari I, was crowned King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the conquering lion of the tribe of Judah in Addis Ababa, Ethiopia, November 2nd, 1930. So I say Jah, Rastafari,
Haile Selassie I, as Jesus Christ, new names in these last days of judgment in Babylon. You and me are the I in Haile Selassie I. So when we say I and I, the first I represents and refers to the original self created by the Most High in unison with the Most High and in unison with creation. That is the first I in I and I. The second I and I refers to the human family in that original creation of the self of the human family, united with the creator and creatress and united with creation. So that is I and I. Now, this is to teach us that Christ desires to be revealed and manifested within your, my, our personalities, making all of our names the new names of Jesus Christ, in fulfillment of the book of Revelation, chapter 3 and verse 12, which teaches us that in the last days, when we would recognize our divinity and our connection to divinity, that we emanate from divine, that we are divine beings emanating from the divine creator, father, creatress, mother, living in this divine creation, this divine universe, on this divine planet that we call Earth, in this divine physical house that we call our physical bodies, when we realize that we are divine, that we are deserving of love, honor, and respect, and that we are deserving to be free of oppression and free of the wicked power of the oppressor. When we realize these things, you will look around and you will see Christ rising up in the people, Christ rising up in Africa, people protesting the situation in Libya, a million strong in Libya, protesting the United States and NATO, saying we don't agree with the bombing of Libya and we don't agree with the attempted assassination of Muammar Gaddafi. That is Christ rising up. Christ rising up in the people. When you look at sisters and brothers rising up in Africa, sisters and brothers rising up in Asia, sisters and brothers rising up all over the earth, sisters and brothers protesting oppression in Greece, in Spain, I believe, in Portugal, in various places in Europe, saying we don't agree with austerity program. We don't agree with the House of Rothschilds and the Oppenheimers and the bankers who take all the wealth and want to put us into a condition of austerity, a program of austerity, which means we go without. You take all the wealth from us, and then you squeeze the belt on us, put us in austerity program claiming you want to rehabilitate the economy when people are without jobs. You cut Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security, and you destroy the people. No revenue coming in because all the revenues are taken by the wealthy and used for warfare and bloodshed. People are protesting that. Sisters and brothers in Wisconsin, sisters and brothers, brothers particularly in the jail system, the prison system, prison industrial complex, Pelican Bay, and others were on a fast protesting their conditions. That is Christ in the last days. Come again in the people, in the resurrection of the people and mentality of the people to break the chains of oppression. These are the last days of Babylon. And we give thanks and praises that this system is done and the resurrection is occurring every day. We are yet in the book of Revelation. We are yet looking at current affairs and looking at current affairs with the mentality of Jesus Christ, with the mind of Revelation, apocalypse, Revelation, apocalypse, carrying the meaning of removing the falsehood so that we may see the truth of this wicked, no good, rotten system, so that we may come together, organize together, be you Hindu, be you Muslim, be you Buddhist, be you Jew, Hebrew, Christian, Jehovah's Witness, all of us, we're going to be forced to come together to break the barriers, because it is about the oppressor, the 1%, 2% ruling class and families, House of Rothschild, Wall Street, corporate elite, Wall Street bankers. They are the oppressor, and they have created division amongst all of the working class and poor class and underclass and all of these denominations and religions. When not looked at properly, become division rather than unity. And those in power take advantage of the division, causing us not to see that it is oppressor against the oppressed. And as long as we stay divided, we will always be the loser. But it is the time that we overcome all the barriers and that we come together and remove the falsehood so that we may see the truth of the system and so that we may come together and destroy the synagogue of Satan. And we're going to go right back into Revelation chapter 2. And we're going to weave in and out with current affairs. I'm going to Eliah.com, which is where I read the scriptures from. Strong's Hebrew Greek Dictionary Lexicon at Eliah.com. In Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10, we read where Jesus is saying to the church, and these are the seven letters that Paul wrote to the seven churches in what they call Asia Minor. And these seven letters are in reality seven aspects, seven characteristics of the black man and woman. Because we are the original church, we are the original African Hebrews, and we are they who have that Messiah mantle to free the oppressed and deliver the oppressed. And so when we read about the seven churches, we are looking at seven aspects of ourselves in this time, because Revelation is prophetic. This is prophecy about us in this time. We are living the book of Revelation. We are living Genesis to Revelation. We are living the Quran from first to the last verse and chapter. We are living Bhagavad Gita. No matter the religious book, they are all prophecy. We are living the prophecy of the universe, because all of these religious books come out of the universe, the knowledge of the universe. These religious books are astral science, solar and lunar science. Psalm 19 and 1 says, "The heavens declare the glory of God." Well, before man could put paper to pen, the Most High in the creation, in the universe, in the heavens, through the creation, already told the whole story. All of the prophecies, all of the occurrences going on have already been prophesied by the Most High in creation. And so all of these religious books have been gleaned from and constructed from the knowledge of creation. And so all of these religious books are religious, are prophecies given to us that we may understand what is going on today. And so, in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10, Jesus is teaching us that we should not fear. Jesus tells us, "Fear none of these things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast you into prison that ye may be tried. When we, as we are, stand up against this wicked system." You remember our history through the 50s and the 60s. Black Panthers in jail. Black Panthers assassinated. Dr. King assassinated. Minister Malcolm X assassinated by the CIA, the FBI, at the behest of the House of Rothschilds and Oppenheimers and Wall Street and the corporate elites and the wicked powers. So all of this was done so that we may acquire the spirit of fear. And this is a tactic used by the enemy so that we may back up from the struggle. But this is the time that we must struggle. We must fight the oppressor. We must come together and deliver the oppressed and fight the oppressor with all of our might. So Jesus says, "Fear none of these things that thou shalt suffer. The devil shall cast you into prison that ye may be tried." Now, on the one hand, it's a trial from the enemy to see if we will leave the struggle. And many of us, most of the churches, have left the struggle. Don't believe that we're to fight the oppressor. Yes, they believe that you shouldn't drink and smoke and fornicate and midnight ramble and carouse and all of that. But they don't believe, most of them, that we are to fight the oppressor every day. But Jesus is saying that The prison is a trial. And so Jesus wants us to come back to the struggle and fight the oppressor. And let me pause and say, this is Deacon Christopher Frazier. I am your minister of information. This is thinkaboutit.org, the Mind of God program. Today's recording date is Sunday, July 24th, 2011. So on the one hand, it's a trial from the enemy to cause us to cease to struggle, to cease fighting the oppressor, to cease delivering the oppressed, to cease focus on the disadvantaged, the poor, the impoverished, to cease fighting against warfare and bloodshed. But on the other hand, Jesus is saying this is a trial that we may overcome the trial and remain in the struggle, and not just remain in the struggle, but tap into the knowledge of the Most High and organize such that we defeat the power of the synagogue of Satan. All right. And ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Tribulation, trials, tests, going through many things, suffering all manner of things for 10 days. 1 through 9 is a level of tribulation. But 10 is 1 through 9, again, at a higher level, going from 10 to 20. So we are going through trials, and the trials are escalating, and the devil is getting more desperate. But we are overcoming the devil. Every time we overcome, the devil has to escalate. The Rothschilds and the Oppenheimers have to escalate, but we overcome that level as well, because we have the power of the Most High within us. But be thou faithful unto death. Look at our history, black man and woman. Look at our history. Look at all of those sisters and brothers, Geronimo G. Jaga Pratt, Daniel D.C. Cox, I believe is his name, Asada Shakur in exile, Mumia Abu-Jamal in jail, our Native American brother, Leonard Peltier, in jail. Daniel D.C. Cox's wife was in exile. All manner of those sisters and brothers who struggled, who died, who were assassinated character-wise, who suffered all manner of indignities. But it was not in vain. It was not in vain. Jesus further says, and I will give thee a crown of life. These have attained the crown of life. These have attained to be promoted to the heads. And when we think of the struggle, we call on the name of Dr. King. We call on the name of Fannie Lou Hamer. We call on the name of Harriet Tubman. We call on the name of Sojourner Truth. We call on the name of Minister Malcolm X, Elijah Muhammad, and others, Medgar Evers, and others, Black Panther Party, male and female. We call on their names because they have attained the crown of life. And this gets me exactly where I want to go, because we preach life, sisters and brothers. We do not preach death. Only we preach death to this wicked Babylon system. We preach death to the power of the synagogue of Satan. We don't preach death and destruction of the human family. We preach life. We preach deliverance from oppression. We preach deliverance for the oppressed. We preach that we should overcome the oppressor and live a full and complete life as gods and goddesses, children of the Most High. But Babylon, this wicked system, they preach death. They preach destruction. Look at the Republican Party. Look at the Democratic Party under the Obama administration. Look at how they cause us, or attempt to cause us, to yet believe in this fictitious 911 narrative. Why is it so important that we believe in this fictitious 911 narrative, this fictitious war on terrorism? It's all fictitious, constructed and designed so that we may be maneuvered into supporting plans that were already made before 911 to go all over the earth. and kill and destroy and commit warfare and bloodshed. And so you see that they preach death. They preach that Muammar Gaddafi must be assassinated. They preach that the Libyan people must die. They preach that Iraqis must die. Afghanistan's people must die. Muslims must die. Arabs must die. They preach death. And then they construct austerity programs. And they cut Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid. Cut programs for the poor, causing death, causing destruction. See, this system is a death system, but we are commanded to preach life to the people, life to the oppressed, resurrection to the poor, the afflicted, the needy, and the oppressed, that we may overcome death. You see, when you read of Jesus overcoming death and hell, that is causing us to understand, when we understand the word Jesus means justice, deliverance, liberty, return of health and wealth to the masses of the people. And Christ means that spirit to deliver the poor, the afflicted, the needy, and the oppressed from and out of the hands of the wicked ruling class and ruling families of this wicked world order. That understanding will overcome death. And that understanding will overcome hell. That is the meaning of Jesus Christ conquering death and hell. And when we understand metaphorically the meanings of Jesus Christ, Yahshua Mashiach, we will overcome this system of death and hell and destruction. And so the Republicans, the Democrats, the Obama administration, Wall Street, the corporate elites, the Rothschilds, the Oppenheimers, they all want to maneuver us into preaching death. They want to maneuver us into preaching that which will cause warfare and bloodshed. And you recall that sometime earlier, we were in the book of Ezekiel, and we were going through a critical analysis of how the system works, how the presidents and prime ministers are puppets, including Obama. And that the puppeteers are the 1%, 2% ruling class and families, the corporate elites, the House of Rothschilds, and the Oppenheimers. And how the puppeteers, the oligarchs, the plutocrats, those few top wealthy, want to cause us to preach death, to support warfare and bloodshed. And this has caused us to defile our sanctuaries. Let me read to you Ezekiel 28 and 18 for a few minutes. Thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thine iniquities, by the iniquity of thy traffic. That word defiled, 2490, kalal. Is the Hebrew word, means profane, defile, pollute, desecrate, to make profane, to dishonor, to violate. This is what the wicked ruling class and families have done. Defiled thy sanctuaries. I'm coming to a point, sisters and brothers. Sanctuaries, 4720 on the Hebrew side of your Strong's Hebrew Greek dictionary, Mikdash. It means temple. It means tabernacle. They have caused us to actually even go into the temple. Listen to this, sisters and brothers. The Rothschilds, the Oppenheimers, those in power who want us to follow this fictitious 911 narrative that was nothing but a false flag operation, that was nothing but a construct of the CIA, the FBI, the FOP, Mossad, MI5 and 6, all of the special ops and intelligence agencies of America, Europe, and Israel constructed 911. It was a constructed false flag operation so that we may be afraid. Jesus told us not to fear, to conquer fear, but they want to pump fear into us so that they may be justified in killing who they want to kill, and we support it because we're afraid and we think that there's some enemy outside of America. The enemy is the House of Rothschilds, the Oppenheimers, the 1%, 2% ruling class and families, Wall Street, oligarchs, corporate plutocrats, your corporate elites. Those are your enemy. These are the synagogue of Satan. So they constructed this 911, and you have preachers. You have Muslim preachers. You have Christian preachers. You have Jewish preachers. You have Hindu preachers and Buddhist preachers and Jehovah's Witness preachers and preachers of every stripe going into their pulpits and preaching 911, preaching warfare, preaching bloodshed. Or some remain silent. And silence is support, because we're called to fight the oppressor and to deliver the oppressed with the word of God. So our sanctuaries have become polluted. And we're not to just look at the religious houses, but the government houses have been polluted and defiled, because death is being preached from the government houses. Our financial institutions have been polluted. Our educational institutions have been polluted and defiled, because all of these institutions are under the control of the wicked ruling class and ruling families, and they preach death. And they have defiled the institutions and caused us to even defile our divine physical house that we call our human flesh, our physical body. How many people are maneuvered into supporting this death system? Some say, well, Obama is a smart fella. If he says go kill people, I'll go, because he's smart. He's not like Bush. Bush was stupid. Well, Bush wasn't that stupid. Bush was very clever to pass himself off as an idiot, for us to write him off and make it easy to discount him. But the same people that gave you Bush gave you Obama. Charismatic, intelligent, smart, beautiful, beautiful, gorgeous wife and beautiful black children. So he's used to cause us to support death. You recall just now, there's a bombing that took place in Oslo, Norway. Why was that bombing? See, they blame it on Al-Qaeda. But when you are a thinking human being, you know that they tell lies night and day. This Al-Qaeda is a CIA creation. That the terrorist acts are farmed out by the CIA to Al-Qaeda, who does the bidding of the CIA, so that we may be maneuvered into supporting 911, so that Obama can come tell us that we're justified in being in Libya to kill. I was listening to Webster Tarpley, and Webster Tarpley was talking about how Norway was about to pull out its support of the bombing campaign in Libya. Did not want to continue to go along with killing in Libya. Began to say, the Norwegian officials began to say that this must be a political solution. Now we know that the Norwegian officials do not want total righteousness and are not looking for a real true political solution, but yet and still they wanted to pull out from the bombing campaign. If I heard it correctly, their planes disproportionately have bombed more than planes from other nations, and that the Norwegian planes were under United States command. Look at how this thing is constructed, sisters and brothers. Obama would lie to us and tell us that America is not in hostilities with Libya, but the hostilities have been farmed out, whereas United States planes normally would drop the bombs directly. The same United States military farms that mission out to the Norwegian planes and other planes, planes from other nations, so that Norway and other nations may do the actual bombing, so that Obama can say, well, we don't have troops on the ground, we're not in direct conflict and hostility. All lies.
all to maneuver us. And so could this bombing in Oslo, Norway, committed by Al-Qaeda, be retaliation for Norway wanting to pull out? That's a question that Wefta Tarpley asked, because the Benghazi rebels are Al-Qaeda. Al-Qaeda is a CIA creation. How can Al-Qaeda be the enemy outside of Benghazi and be the friend of America inside of Benghazi? They don't want to tell you that's Al-Qaeda, but Al-Qaeda is a CIA creation doing the bidding of the House of Rothschilds and the Oppenheimers. And so, they want us to preach death, but we preach life. What is our job? I'm going to weave in some Sunday school lessons. What is our job? Our job is to fight the oppressor. Our job is to fight those in power, to overturn the oppressor, to overturn this death system, to overturn idolatry. In our Sunday school lessons, we've been dealing with idolatry, but most of us know not what idolatry is or the definition of idolatry. Paul tells us in one of his writings that idolatry is covetousness. To covet something is to want something that is not yours and use wicked means to obtain it to the detriment of that one that you are taking that which you desire from. So the idol is made up of stone, rubies, wood, diamonds, gold, various minerals, various resources. So the idol really is representing or representative of land, wealth, and resources. And so when you read about idolatry in the Bible, you are reading about a system that is constructed by the oppressor to kill and destroy poor, afflicted, needy, and oppressed people. Take the land, take the wealth, take the resources, construct an economic system that destroys people, that is buttressed by warfare and bloodshed. That is idolatry. And so when we see the children of Israel rising up to fight the oppressor, rising up to deliver the oppressed, they are rising up to fight an idolatrous system of warfare and bloodshed and theft of land, wealth, and resources. That is our job. The Hebrews are showing us then what we're to do now. We today, as believers in the Most High, no matter what name you use, our job is to fight the oppressor. Our job is to fight idolatry, which is covetousness, which is warfare, bloodshed, theft of land, wealth, and resources. Our job is the same. Black man and woman, you are the modern day Hebrew. You are descendants of the ancient African Hebrew Israelite nation. You are the Messiah people. It is our job to rise up Christ within ourselves, raise that Christ spirit within ourselves, and free the oppressed, deliver the oppressed all over the earth by raising up the Christ spirit within the oppressed, no matter the color. And so we had a lesson in Judges chapter 2. And the children of Israel were fighting against those who promoted the name of Balaam and the name of Ashtaroth and Baal. And there's much misunderstanding concerning Balaam and Baal. I want to read from Precepts for Living, page 507, their commentary, and give the truth behind the commentary, because they misunderstand the names of the God and the Goddess, the names of the Father and the names of the Mother, the names of the angels, male and female, the names of those children of the Most High that are helpers of the Most High. Because what we do is we say, well, I'm a Jew and he's a Christian, I condemn him because he's a Christian. Or I'm a Christian, he's a Hebrew, I condemn him because he's a Hebrew. Or that's a Jehovah's Witness over there. Or that's a Hindu. Or that's a Buddhist.
But all of us are using different names to describe the same Most High Father and Most High Mother. But we get bogged down in the different names when in reality we need to look at the practice of the society that has a name and a claim on a name. Now what I'm going to do is take my first break, and I will see you on the other side of the break.